Good morning, church family. I want to welcome you to the service this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want to invite you to stand. The first two songs that we'll be singing are regarding times and God's faithfulness during those times.
These are the days of Elijah.
Power.
Amen. The next song is called "Oh, the Love of My Redeemer." I chose this song with the idea of the baby dedication. This song talks about the different seasons of life and the faithfulness and the love of God through those seasons.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Good to have you. There's some who have been gone and are back. Glad to have you all. Some here to help us celebrate our children and our desire to have them do the will of God through their life and be used in His kingdom. So, welcome to everybody. When you look outside, It's easy to see that we need rain. The ground is dry, grass is brown, creeks are running low, ponds are drying up. It's obvious that we need rain, and we all desire for the ground to be replenished. But do we desire the watering of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God as much as we want it to rain? If we're not watered by the Word of God, our lives will look like a desert. There won't be much growth. There won't be life flowing through us. Do we recognize our need for God's Word as easily as we see our need for rain? David could see it. In Psalm 63:1, he says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." There's a solution for the drought. John 7:38, words of Jesus, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." Let's desire to be filled with the Word and the Holy Spirit so that people won't see a drought when they look at us. I invite the ushers forward. Our offering this morning is for Arnok. If you don't know what that is our conference. Rosedale Network of Churches. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for Rosedale, the work they're doing in your kingdom. I pray that you would use this money and this conference for your honor, your glory. Pray that they would never stop seeking truth and never be lazy and stop seeking to share your word around the world. And as Micah comes later to lead our service, we thank you for the blessing of children. Pray that each one being dedicated this morning would be used in your kingdom in a great way. And I pray that we would all be encouraged this morning to be used and be willing to be used for the work that you've called us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Take out your red hymnals, the Mennonite hymnal, and turn with me to 267. 267, "My God, I Thank Thee," in the Mennonite hymnal.
My God,
so many glorious things are Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. You realize what you just sang? I thank thee more that all our joy is touched with pain, that shadows fall on the brightest hours, that thorns remain, so that earth's bliss may be our guide and not our chain. It's one of my favorite songs, I think. But that verse is difficult. Are we grateful for the reality that our lives are difficult and painful? It is a joy in the life of a congregation to take part in mornings like this morning, where you dedicate children to the life that's ahead of them. We don't know what that means for each person that's here. Each one of you were sent by God and dedicated for a purpose on this life. And this morning we desire as a church and as parents to bring our children before the Lord and say, Lord, we desire you to work. We desire to lay them before the congregation in a way of humility and say we need God's help first and foremost. We also need the body of Christ to surround us as we parent our children. I have two hard questions that, if this is you, I would like for you to raise your hand. If you have had parents in your life, raise your hand. All right, most, probably about 75%. And if you have been a child, I want you to raise your hand as well. All right, I won't call out you who are sitting there looking at me, arms folded. But being a child and being a parent are big deals. They're important callings for your life, and they separate you from two different types of calling in your life. You are called to be a child, and you're also those that God gives children to. He calls them to be parents. And for others that don't have biological children, God calls them to plant seeds in many other children and impact many other people's lives. So why is it, I can definitely relate with this with the stage my children are at, I'm not going to name any names, which ones, but when you are a child, it seems like all you want to be is an adult. Is that true? That you want the responsibility, you want to know everything, you want to carry the freedoms that being an adult brings. I would suggest to you this morning as well that it's a temptation of parents that you also envy the life of a child. You run. It's easy to run from the responsibility. It's easy to run from the freedoms that you're called to as an adult. So we have children desiring to be adults. We have parents that desire to be free. And this should not be so. Being a child is an important time in your life, and being a parent is an important time as well. You know, it's important to get a biblical perspective of what being a parent is. We are in a time in our world where there is a war against the children of the church and the children of our world. The enemy knows that if he can corrupt the children, the future looks bleak. And if he can steal the joy and steal the purpose of a parent's heart to lead their children into the ways of God, they have won. He has won for the next generations to be. So it's important to have a biblical perspective and to make the correct choices, and not just choices, but actions, knowing that your decisions totally impact the generations to come. I was doing some research on this sermon, and I came across some statistics. And statistics are only as good as the people that took them, but this is what these people found out through their surveys. That two-thirds of Christians surveyed came to the faith before the age of 18. 43% came to Christ before the age of 12. And less than 25% of all current believers that they surveyed came to Christ after the age of 21. Being in a child is an important time of your life. Of those surveyed also, 50% of all the Christians, professing Christians that were surveyed, 50% of them had parents that led them to Christ. And it was around 25% or so after that, that a church leader led them to Christ. Being a parent is a big deal. 50% of all those surveyed had a parent that led them to Jesus. I would like to share with you three biblical truths. These are not exclusive, the only three that are important in your life. But these are three that I came up with this morning. Children are a blessing. We see in Genesis chapter 1, from the very beginning, it says, God created male and female in his own image. I want you to think for a second, to really think about it, that God created you. You know, it's easy to think of that as a peripheral reality. It's easy to think that, you know, God created other people. But that God created you in his very own image to be a blessing. You were a blessing. God created you. You are a blessing to the earth. You were created for a purpose. In Psalm 127, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, and the children of one's youth, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate." Children are a blessing from the Lord. I want you to hear this. They are the image bearers of Christ that come in a package that look like you, if you are a parent this morning. How crazy is that? They are the image bearers of Christ that look and act like you, their parents. That is amazing that God gives us that blessing in our lives. It's easy to look in the world and see important people. Or we look back in the faith and we think of David and Moses and Joshua, and all these people that were just huge icons in the faith. We often don't remember that they were children as well. They had parents as well. Every single person in this room has parents. This has been directed by their parents, either in a good way or a negative way, to where they are today. It's easy to look up to people and think, that's just who they are. That's just where they're at. But God created them as a child, as a sponge, and has brought them through the road that they are at to where they are now. And if you are not happy where you are this morning, whether a child or an adult, God has a plan for you as well. It is because of this reality of knowing that there's a war against our children, that knowing that children are important, that it's an incredibly important time of our lives, that is why we dedicate these children this morning. We dedicate our children to the work of the Holy Spirit within their life. We need the Lord's help. We need the body of Christ. We dedicate our children that they may be used for his purposes that he has created them for. I want to ask you this morning, if you are a parent here, do you view your children as a blessing? I assume that if I came and talked to you one-on-one, every single one of you would say, yeah, well, of course, I view my children as a blessing. And I would just have you to think this morning, what does your life and actions say? Are your children a blessing to you this morning, or are they a burden? Is it your desire to come home from work or to come home from a long day and to check out? And just, if my family wouldn't be here, it would just be easier. That ties us into the next point. Children are a responsibility. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times in my life I wasn't able. My dad, we lived on a curb, and I think my dad had a traumatic event as a child or something where his dog got killed on this curb, and so I was never allowed to have a dog on our farm. This is not a painful experience for me. This just was what it was. It wasn't a big deal. But then, as I became an adult, I was like, man, I just want a dog. And as I've had kids, we've got numerous different dogs, puppies, throughout. And, you know, when you first get that puppy, it is awesome. If they are well taken care of, you're going out, putting blankets over them, you're sad when they're crying at night because they miss their puppy mates, litter, whatever that is. And it's just like there's no amount of love that is spared from this puppy because it's new, it's fresh, it's young, it's wonderful to have a joy of a puppy around. But once the newness wears off and the puppy begins to grow, the blessing of having a puppy is soon replaced with the responsibility of having a puppy. And that doesn't mean you don't love the puppy, but often it's replaced, the newness is replaced with responsibility. Well, I pray this morning that you love your kids as much as you did when they were young puppies. But the newness does wear off, and responsibility of what it means to be a parent and what it means to direct their lives becomes more of a forefront into your mind. I talk to men often and just one common theme I often hear. It's not necessarily worded like this, and if you're a wife, don't freak out about this. This is just kind of, I think, normal for the enemy to get us to think about it. But as I taught these men, and as I examine my own heart, we often feel like running away. Is it that we want to run away from our parents, from our wives, our kids? No, we love our wife. We love our kids. But it's we want to run away from the responsibility of what it means to be that husband, to be that father in people's life. And as I mentioned earlier, that it's easy to think that you don't do that until you examine what you're, if you could get a bird's eye view over your life and look down, it's convicting. I had a personal wake-up call, and unfortunately, I need more wake-up calls because I see I'm not doing as well as I should, but we had a son named Truman who lived for 4.5 months. And as I went back and I looked over, and I've shared this before, but as I went back and looked over those pictures, I saw myself on my phone or like watching TV in almost all the pictures. It was like heartbreak. He's like, you know he's gonna die, but yet you spend that time that you have with them wasting it. I might have been holding him, but it wasn't like I was giving him my full attention. And God holds parents accountable for how they raise their parents, how their time is spent with their children. Charles Francis Adams is a 19th century political figure. He was a diplomat at the time, kept a diary. And one day he entered into his diary, went fishing with my son today. It was a day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary, which is still in existence to this day. On that same day, Brooke Adams made this entry. Went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting his time, his life, because he wasn't out providing, he wasn't making big political waves on that day. But the only way you can tell a difference between wasting time and investing is knowing the ultimate purpose of your life. What is the purpose for you as a man and a woman, as called to be parents today? I want you to grasp this reality. If you're a father here this morning, you fathers, you are called to be the pastor of your home. I believe that's true. You are called to keep watch over your family's souls as those who will be giving an account. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than a non-believer. It's important what we do with our time and with our mouths and with our energies. Deuteronomy 6 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It is your responsibility as a parent to teach and live out the gospel to your children. And oftentimes, if I really look at myself as well, I often move that responsibility and think, you know, they're going to a Christian school. You know, they're going to Bible school. They're going to Sunday school. They're going to a church. We're excited about it. They're going to youth group. And we give over that responsibility to those who aren't to carry it. If you are a parent here this morning, it is your responsibility to live out the gospel to your children. You know, this isn't just a reality for a baby that we're dedicating here this morning. This is the reality that even when your children get older and things get tougher, you are called to be a parent to them. We see numerous examples in the Bible, and this is just one, two that came to my mind, of men who had great spiritual impact in their day. We see Eli in Scripture, and we see Samuel. We recognize those names, but what happened to the next generation after them? What were their children, their sons, considered? Scripture says they were wicked sons, and that it was the refusal of their fathers to correct them that led to their destruction. How are you living your life as a steward of God's blessing? I invite you this morning to make this commitment, to make this declaration for you, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And finally, children must be released. I think about it every time I am at a funeral, especially when I'm standing up here speaking and you look down and in between you and the people you're talking to is a box with a body in it of somebody who has passed away. And that reality becomes even more real, that that's going to be me and you someday. Unless Jesus comes back, we will all be in front of a church or in somewhere. And people will be crying and they'll be sad, but we will be gone. That is the reality for us. And what are you going to leave behind? What is going to be the testimony of your life? And greater than any other impact you can have on the world after you're gone is how you raised and directed your children. The greatest mission of this church, the greatest impact we can have in the community and in the world, is how do we raise up the children that God has given into our care. It caused me to think of financial investment and this idea of releasing. It's difficult as a parent. Financial investment. When you invest money, what does it require? It requires us letting go of what we value and trusting it into somebody else's hands, that the return on that investment would be so much greater than what we could imagine. The same goes for our children as well. We have to release them. First, as we're doing here this morning, as a child, but then also as they grow into adulthood, we release them into the world to make the impact, to make the increase on the investment that we have put in their life. Psalms 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. We're to strive for it, but none of us here are going to be perfect parents. And this gives freedom as we release children back to the Lord, as we have given them back to his purposes, that God is building his house. God is watching over the city. We are stewards of the city, but he is the one that looks over the city. He looks over our families. And Philippians 1:6 is my favorite passage in Scripture, that being confident in this, that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. If you don't know what to pray over your children, pray that over them. That's what my mom just told me over and over again. Being confident is that he who has begun a good work in you will carry it out unto the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Children are a responsibility to parents. But a child dedicated or a child with purpose also has a responsibility. I don't know if when you were young, if you were brought before a church and your parents held you up here. I think I was dedicated right, well, I guess I've been right back there on the other side of that wall. I don't know if you were dedicated in front of a church or not. It doesn't really matter. God created you with a purpose. He dedicated you for his plan on this earth. And as a child of God, you have a purpose. And are you living in that purpose? As we dedicate, just very shortly, we're going to commit them to Christ, to the works of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would work in their lives, that God's righteousness would be at work within them, that they would have ears to hear, eyes to see when the Holy Spirit calls them to walk with him. And we pray that it would be at a young age. Is that you this morning as an adult? Is that you this morning as a youth? Are you living a dedicated life to Jesus Christ? I'm not much of a poetry guy, but this is I'd like to close with this poem by Amy Carmichael. It's a prayer. Father, hear us, we are praying. Hear the words our hearts are saying. We are praying for our children. Keep them from the powers of evil, from the secret's hidden peril. Father, hear us for our children. From the worldling's hallowed gladness, from the sting of faithless sadness, Father, Father, keep our children. Through life's troubled waters steer them. Through life's bitter battles cheer them. Father, Father, be thou near them. And whenever they may bide, lead them home to the eventide. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are at work. I thank you for the children of this congregation, Lord. I thank you for the overwhelming blessing that new life is. Father, we don't know the plans that you have for us. We don't know the plans you have for these children. But we pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be at work, even now. That you'd empower these parents to live a life that models well the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they would fall on the cross and just give over to you their children, knowing that we're imperfect vessels, but you are a perfect God that uses us in other people's lives. God, just I pray that we would be humble parents. I pray that we would see our children as a blessing. We just declare this morning that children are a blessing from God in a culture who sees children as a curse. Father, for those here this morning that need a wake-up call in the parenting of their children, I pray that you would work in them, direct them. I pray that we would have the energy to be the parents that you have called us to be. And Father, for those that do not know you here this morning, that have not declared, have not been baptized, the work of your salvation in their life, I pray that you convict them. I pray that we would live as dedicated people to this world for a certain purpose. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I invite the families who will be dedicating their children to go ahead and come forward. Unfortunately, Luke Gardner got sick, so their child will not be being dedicated this morning. It is awesome. And if you're going to be the one praying a blessing. I'll call you all up here in just a little bit. This year we have had, I believe, 8 children, and we know of 10 more to come. So that's awesome. That's exciting. That's a big responsibility as a church, a really big responsibility. All right. This is weird. I'm going to try looking at y'all. All right. In this church, there we go. All right, in this church, we dedicate children to God and His care. We recognize that children are a gift from God and created for His purpose. We understand that the way we live, teach, and discipline as parents can either soften or harden the child's heart. We believe that every person needs the Holy Spirit's work of conviction in their lives, and we dedicate these children that when God calls them, they would have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that long for Jesus as King of their life. I have invited each family to come forward and to just share a word with us this morning. We'll just start over here. Brian and Brianna.
Hey, so I'm Brian. This is my wife, Brianna. James. And then our newest addition, Miriam, who we're dedicating today. So I want to start with a Bible verse, Deuteronomy 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are coming to the, crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. And then jumping down to verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So this talks about children throughout. This is Old Testament immediately after the Ten Commandments, so we are no longer under the law, under the Old Testament law, but still here, verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, which is, as Jesus said, the greatest commandment, and immediately after that, impress them on your children. So it just goes to the importance of your children there, of impressing that love for the Lord, and it's a big responsibility. It's something that we will constantly need to be reminded if we slip away from that, to be impressing them on our children. And then also having the church as an example of those people that are talking about it, talking about the Lord when they sit at home, when they walk along the road at all times, just further impressing that upon James and upon Miriam. Mm-hmm. So just thought that verse struck out to me, and the need for us to impress upon our children the importance of God, and also to be reminded and to be further examples of that. So, thank you.
Good morning, church. I'm Daniel. This is my wife, Kristen, our son, Vincent, and our newest addition, Isla Ray. So, we're excited to be here today. We're grateful for all the support that you guys offered us as a church family, just through meals and everything like that. With her, we're very grateful for you all as a church family to stand with us. Our desire for our children is to raise godly children and children that fear the Lord and that walk that out throughout life. That just lead a good example in life. So we're grateful for everything that you guys are for us. And we just ask that you all would pray for us and continue to support us. Thank you all.
Good morning. My name is Daniel. This is my wife, Bonnie, and our daughter, Grace Oakley. One of the definitions of grace is a gift from God. And we, as parents, truly are thankful for her and believe that she is a gift from God. One of the desires we have for her life comes from 2 Peter 3:18. And that desire is that she would grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that she would bring glory to Him now and forever. We're very thankful for the support from the church as well over her being born. We appreciate that and thank you very much. We desire as parents, as we continue on, that you guys support us, our church, our family, and our friends through prayers and just helping us as we raise our daughter for Christ. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jeremiah Miller. This is my wife, Josie, and our two sons, Peyton and Clayton. God gifted these children to us, and now it is time for us to, for our desire to raise them under His grace and wisdom. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prepare you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Our prayer is that our boys will seek to find answers in the Lord and not be tempted by the ways of the world. We ask that our prayers, for your prayers and support as we strive to raise them in a way that may be a light for Jesus in this dark world. John 1:4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And now I believe Peyton has a verse he would like to say.
Yeah. It's too high. We love because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Curtis. This is my wife, Morgan. And this is Elliot Glenn Schenck. He was born January 30th. And I guess we're thankful for everybody here that's helped and been a part of his life so far. And I just ask that you pray for him and us, as this is our first kid. Thankful that he has a good church and church family to help raise him and be a part of his life.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to ask you two questions this morning, and if this is your desire, just say, "I commit," or "I do." And say it so we can hear it. Do you dedicate yourself to pursue relationship with God by trusting in the finished, saving work of Jesus Christ and depending on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct your life, knowing that the life you model will shape your children more deeply than the words you say? Do you dedicate yourself to raising your child with biblical love, instruction, and discipline? Will you teach your children to love Jesus, knowing that your primary responsibility as a parent is to train your child to follow Jesus? I invite those that they have asked to pray a prayer of blessing over their child to go ahead and come forward. Could we have a mic up here as well? Blake, could you grab a mic? The families chose these men for a reason. So you play a big part in each of these people's life. We'll start down there on that end. Let's pray together.
Lord God, we just come to you this moment to thank you and praise you that we can be here and on behalf of these children and especially for Elliot. And we just are here to dedicate him to you today. Lord, it is a blessing and we just thank you for that. We pray for his parents, for all that they do for him. We just pray that you would give them strength and courage to raise him for Jesus. And we just pray for Elliot for wisdom and knowledge and discernment, Lord, that ultimately that he could grow up to seek you as Lord and Savior.
Father, we worship you this day as creator and sustainer of life, recognizing that it is only through you that we live and move and have our being. And so we thank you this morning for the gift of life to Peyton and Clayton. We ask, Lord, that you would be ever near and dear to them as they go through this journey. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. We pray that they would abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. We pray that they would be a light and a testimony to a dark world. We pray a blessing over Josie and Jeremiah and their marriage. We pray that their home would be filled with the joy of the Lord and that you would bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. And Father, we thank you too this morning for this sweet baby Grace. We pray, Lord, that you would, we recognize her as a gift from you, God, and we just pray that you would bless her and keep her, that you would be near to her all the days of her life. We pray that she would come to you, Jesus, at a young age and claim you as Lord of her life. We pray for Bonnie and for Daniel as they parent Grace. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment, and too, Lord, that their home would be filled with the joy of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we humbly acknowledge you as the creator of life. We thank you for Isla Ray's life and desire as a church family to see this beautiful and precious girl become your daughter, to live in spirit and truth. We recognize the only physical thing of eternal value that we can take with us after death is our children. Bless Daniel and Kristen as they shape and mold her into your likeness. Give them grace and soften Isla Ray's heart to desire to obey. Give her a kind spirit, but one full of life, passion, and resilience. Reveal yourself to her at a young age in ways that she can comprehend and understand. Isla Ray, we dedicate you back to the Lord and bless you to grow in stature and in beauty. We pray that you would willfully submit your life to him at an appropriate age and in time would understand the fullness and richness and the completeness of the gospel. We bless you with purity as you grow into womanhood, that you would keep yourself for your marriage. We come against and protect you from demonic forces in the name of Jesus and cut off any past generational curses, health consequences, and future attacks. We cancel them all in the name of Jesus, and in his name we commit this dedication, prayer, and blessing. Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for the blessing of Miriam. And we pray for protection over her and keep her from harm's way. I pray for a blessing on Brian and Brianna as they provide for and nurture Miriam and James. We pray that early in life her heart will be drawn to the heart of God and she will choose to follow you, Christ, and to serve you with the gifts and talents that you have given her. Amen.
Amen. That concludes that part. Josiah, would you come lead us in some hymns?
Take out your green hymnal and turn with me to the place that I have my paper marked. Turn with me to 665. Come, ye thankful people, come. 665 in the Zion's praises, and let's stand and sing this song.
Yeah.
take out your red hymnals and turn with me to 524. 524 in the Mennonite hymnal. Praise to God.
Come to a time of announcements. As you probably noticed with the songs we sang, Thanksgiving is coming up. On Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have our Thanksgiving service here. Darren Showalter is going to be bringing a meditation. I think today is a special day for him, by the way. There will be special music by people who have never been up front before. And there will be a time for you to share what you're thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. And if you're willing to get up and share, there will be a little treat for you. So I hope to see you all here. Today is the last chance for the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. Make sure they are placed in the library. You probably got an email this morning asking you to sign up for a meal to help the homeless. That is through the Open Doors Ministry. That meal will be on December 12th. So please sign up to help out in that way. If you have any questions, you can ask Lois Rhodes or Amy Showalter. Does anybody else have an announcement? Don't think anybody talked to me about anything else. Can remember the Christmas play coming up. Can also, as we transition into a time of prayer, remember everyone involved with that. The actors have a lot of lines to memorize. They've spent a lot of time so far, so lift them up as you think about it. Spread the news to the people around. Invite people to come. Let's also remember our conference. Pray for those who experiencing turmoil in the world around us. There's a lot of people who probably don't feel like they have a lot to be thankful for. Let's remember those also. Let's stand for a closing prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that we could gather like this today. Thank you for the blessing of children. Pray that we as parents would do our part, be responsible in the task that you've placed on our hands. And I pray that each child here this morning would seek you and seek your will for their lives as they grow up. Lord, I pray for those around the world who are experiencing persecution and hardships. I pray that they could see your hand in their lives, that they could see things to be thankful for. Pray that you would give them courage to stand for truth and to not cave when things get hard. Lord, guide us as we go out. Pray that we could live a life of thanksgiving every day, not just think about it this week. Pray that people around us could see that we are thankful and we are blessed to be your children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.